God is in the blessing business. God is in the blessing business. God desires to bless this church. He wants to bless us in every area of our lives. He intends for our lives to reflect His love for us and His abundance of supply and His generosity and His grace. We are living epistles and we are read by all men. And when people see us, they should see the glory of our God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with all that you have, your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your strength, everything that you possess, and with the first fruit of every blessing that He gives. So shall your barn be filled with plenty, with abundance, and your presses shall burst out with the new wine of the anointing. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree all together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and that the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Abundance of comfort, abundance of honor, God will take care of us. The glorious discovery of His love has given full assurance that God has provided sufficient for the supply of all our wants and the answering of all our prayers. We shall have an assurance of God's gracious presence, rivers of grace, rivers of pleasure. The declaration of the gospel turns a wilderness into pools of water. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, the Lord is not limited to what's on the earth. His riches and glory are beyond anything we have ever seen or heard of or perceived. He reaches into His abundance and brings forth from the invisible realm into the visible realm whatever it is that we need. If we need blessing, if we need grace, if we need anointing, if we need peace, if we need security, if we need love, if we need companionship, if we need joy, if we need money, if we need food, if we need housing, if we need healing, if we need relationship, whatever we need, he reaches into his great abundance and he gives it freely to us all. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, like the heathen, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, no concern, no worry for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 68. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Like today, even the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 145. Verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. Every living thing. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Everything is yours, Lord. Everything. Everything. Exodus 19. Everything. So we have no limits, because everything is yours. Whatever we need, you have it, and you will freely give it to us. Verse 5. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. All the earth is the Lord's, and we're a kingdom of priests and a holy nation unto him. God owns it all. Haggai. Chapter 2. Let's see the paper. Haggai. Chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Oh, I'm already here. Thank you, Lord. And verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. God can supply his people even through miracles. Many miracles. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. You know, when God pours out, it's not just in the physical, it's in the spiritual. It's in the physical. It touches every spot and everything. There's nothing that goes untouched. When God comes to church, there's no stone he leaves unturned. When God comes to church, he takes care of every little detail. Everything. He doesn't leave anything undone. It's perfectly ordered, perfectly in place, and he is the author and the completer of the work. Verse 23, I think, yeah. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp and round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. You see, God did a drop shipment in the wilderness. He didn't use a Boeing. He didn't use one of those big warplanes. He sent the fowl. He just told them to move and go right there. And they dropped in to their appointed place, and his people had no lack. We don't have to depend on the world and their system. Should their system collapse, we are not without, for our God takes care of us. Should the whole world's economy come to a screeching halt tomorrow, we are not left stranded and we are not left with empty pockets. God has more than enough for his people. There is no reason for us to fear, because some prognosticator said thus and so and thus and so and thus and so. If God can feed them in the wilderness, he can feed us in the city. He said, blessed are ye in the city, and blessed are you in the field, and blessed are you wherever you are, because you are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what's happening out there in wickedness. Your God has you under his wings of protection, and he will take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. You see, the world is going to have to quake and shake before they'll come to Jesus. They're going to have to quake and shake some, but that's not for us to do. That's for them. And verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We have hope. So let's go see the hope that Habakkuk had. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk had hope. He was going through a hard time. His nation was. And he had hope. So we're going to find out what hope he had. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning of verse 17. No, I'm going to start at 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. You see, he heard of war coming, as we've heard. And he says, even though the produce fail, all the crops fail, all the crops fail, major crops, much commerce, it all fails. And the cattle, they're not there either. And we don't have produce. And the fisheries close. And the bakeries close. And there are no crops anywhere. This is what he had to face. And this is what he was saying. They stopped running the Belmont and the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby. Vegas shuts down. The NFL won't play. If the whole thing shuts down, the whole ball. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. I'll rise above it. God will cause me to rise above it. He'll make me a bridge over troubled water, even if everything else collapses. If everything else collapses. If China can't do what they think they can do, and Russia can't do what they think they can do, and Saudi Arabia can't do what they think they can do, and the United States no longer does what it always has done, our God is still in our corner, and he will take care of us. Amen? Amen. Psalm 132. And verse 15. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen. God has not forgotten his people, and we don't have all these promises in this Bible, so he could fill up pages. Amen. He wasn't trying to put filler in a Bible. Mark chapter 8 and verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. That's a fast. They were with the Lord. They were with him for 3 days and they had no food. That's a fast. Amen. And if I send them away fasting to their seat, I told you they were fasting. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away, full and satisfied, jolly, full of the word, full of his spirit. They lacked no good thing. You see, in the natural, they didn't have much. But he thanked his Father and he blessed it. And it was enough to fill to the overflow every single person. There is no lack in our God. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis, in the beginning, 21. Starting at verse... I'm going to start there. 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. Now, by the way, Abraham was a very rich man. If you read back previous, you'll find out he was not broke at all. So why he would send Hagar out with bread and water, with a child, you know how children eat, and that's all they had, I don't know. But anyway, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar from where? Out of heaven. The answer came from heaven. And said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Amen. In the wilderness, no one to help, no one to comfort, God spoke to her from heaven and gave her what she needed. God doesn't miss. He knows what we need. Amen. Exodus 15. You see, even his dad didn't think well enough to provide. But God didn't miss. The Bible says, when your mother and father forsake you, the Lord himself will take you up. Well, he did. Exodus 15:23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. Why? For they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he prove them. You see, they're bitter waters from our past sometimes. things that have happened to us that we had very little control over. But if we allow, God will go back in those troubled places where we had troubled waters, and he will place his cross right there, and those bitter waters will become sweet. Sweet. So sweet. And there'll be no more pain there anymore. Amen. Even in relationships where the waters have grown bitter and cold, God is able to erect his cross of Calvary in the midst of it and turn the bitter waters sweet, sweet. Deuteronomy 29. And verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. The Lord took care of their natural needs. They didn't look like bombs. They were walking around the wilderness in style. Remember, when they left Egypt, he made the Egyptians give them their wealth. They were in high style. Vanity Fair had nothing to offer them. Paris couldn't do it for them. God had already done it. You see, our God takes care of us no matter what. Proverbs 10 and verse 3. No matter what. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The Lord will not suffer. He will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. Never. It will not happen. You can sign your name right at the end of that scripture, because that's the truth. Our responsibility is to please the Lord, to trust him, and to obey him. And so, I'm going back to Psalm 84. You may join me if you desire. And verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. God will not withhold good from his people. No good thing will he withhold from us. Why? Because he loves us. As it says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, if ye be willing first, obedient next, ye shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing, that comes from your heart and mind, and obedient, the actions you take, ye shall eat the good of the land. First John, all the way to the back. First John 3. First John 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen? And do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. We must obey him first. So I'm going to 1 Kings chapter 17. We must obey him first. First. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, that is to Elijah the Tishbite, get thee hence, get up from here, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He had to get up, and he had to go where God said he had to go. He couldn't sit there and think the ravens were going to find him where he was. It just wasn't going to happen. He had to be willing to do what God said to do, and then he had to get up and do it. And when he did it, he found sufficiency. He found feeding. He found substance. But he had to listen. He had to heed. He had to obey. Then he could receive. Amen? Amen. And then he told him later, in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, see, he obeyed God, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. But if he hadn't gone, the miracle would never have happened. He had to do what God said he had to do. And she had to obey God too. You see, obedience is key to seeing miracles take place in your life. When God says, get up and go do something, it does not mean do something else. It means do what he said do when he said do it. We have to learn that, not to put God on hold, because we really just hinder ourselves. And sometimes we miss our miracle because we are not prompt to obey him. Matthew chapter 17. And I'm going to verse 27. And this was about the taxes. You know there are always taxes. And in verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute or tax money came to Peter and says, doth not your master pay tribute? Then, you know, Peter got a little hot under the collar, and they went through this little discussion. And then in verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And he didn't tell him to eat the fish. He said, take him up. He didn't say, chop off his head, scale him and gut him open. He didn't say that. And thou shalt find, and when thou hast opened its mouth, just grab him and open his mouth, Peter. Thou shalt find a piece of money. God can get money from wherever he wants to get money from. Amen. It does not say you have to go to Chase. Amen. Well, he didn't. He did not send him to the credit union. He sent him to go get a fish out of the water. and take that and give unto them for me and thee. It's enough money to pay Jesus' taxes and Peter's too. But Peter had to trust the Lord and do what God said to do. He did not say, go make a loan. That's not what he said. He didn't say, go see the mortgage lender. He didn't say that. He said, go fishing. And he didn't tell him to eat the fish. Peter had to follow specific instructions to see the miracle take place. He couldn't create his own avenue of blessing. He had to follow specific directions in order. And then the miracle came forth. And that's the way it works with God when he does things in our life. We have to listen to him and do exactly what he says. That's how it works. That's how it works. John chapter 2. I like this one. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. They all got invited. They were in the in crowd that week. I think they were family. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. They're out of refreshment. What are we going to do? She didn't fret. She just walked up. They're out of wine. She didn't say, son, I need to talk with you a minute outside. No, she said, they don't have any wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, ma, look, it ain't time for me to start this thing right now. I know what you know, but it's just not time right now. And so she politely turned and addressed the servants. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stones, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's about 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. See, mom didn't argue, she didn't argue one word. She informed him of the need. She turned and gave instructions, and she walked away with full assurance that the problem was settled. We don't do that. We don't go to God and say, Lord, such and such is the case, and then get up with full faith and assurance that it's all taken care of. No, we talk to him about it 24 more hours continually. We do it in the bathroom while we're brushing our teeth. We do it in the room while we're putting on our clothes. We do it on the way to the car. We do it in the car, after we cranked the car, after we backed up while we're driving down the street, at every stop sign, at every red light, as we're getting on the expressway, we're still talking to God about the same old thing that was settled when we talk to him the first time. We just don't quit. She said it once. She turned and walked away. And she was one and done. Maybe one day we'll get there, you think? You think we'll get there, saints? She was one and done. It was over. She didn't even look back. Nowhere does it tell us she came back to check on the situation to see if anything had changed. No, she was done. He told her it wasn't time for him to get started. She turned and told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, you do that. And she was gone. On to the next thing. Do you think we'll ever get there? I sure hope we do. We must believe God's word and depend on him to supply. Matthew 21. Mary knew what she was doing. I think we need to get caught up. Verse 22. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And all things, not most things, all things. Not the things where we think we can figure out how he might do it. All things. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Hebrews 11. And verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to believe that. We can't be wavering. We've got to know it. We've got to know it in our hearts. It's got to speak to us. We've got to know that we know that we know that we know. Then we have to thank the Lord. So let's go to Psalm 116. Once you ask, then you thank. It doesn't say, and you fret. It says, and you think. Think and fret are not the same thing. Psalm 116. Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. God has set us free. He's delivered us. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The Lord loves us and is urgently moving to supply all of our need, every single need. I mean, what kind of a parent would you be to watch your child down there on earth needing something? You've got it. You're trying to get it to them. And they haven't gotten the point yet. But you keep trying to tell them one more time, I have what you need. So why aren't you receiving? You see? You ever tried to feed a baby with and you're busy, they're hungry. They've been out too long today. You finally got home so you could feed them. And now while you're trying to feed them, they're still fussing. They're just as fussy. And you're trying to get that spoon in their mouth. And then, and open your mouth. Come on, here comes the airplane. And they're still fussing. And the problem is they're hungry. Now, if they just quit fussing and open their mouth, the problem would be solved. But no, they're still fussing. They're still fussing because it was hot. They're still fussing because you stayed in the store too long. They're still fussing because they're not happy and they're hungry. When are we going to stop that? You know, that behavior pattern has never stopped, even though we've become adults. God knows what we need, and he's trying to get it in our mouths, but we're still fussing. And we're still fussing, and we're throwing our tantrum now. We're working up on a tantrum. Here we are. We're trying to get it going. And the last time, and remember, and now, and they have theirs, and I don't have mine. And we were working it up. Boy, we're working it up. We're putting some steam in that thing. And he's sitting there trying to get that same spoon in our mouths. He said this morning, if you would open your mouth, he would fill it. I think he meant that. I'm certain he did. So we're not going to do the whine, and we're not going to do the fuss, and we're not going to throw tantrums, are we? Because that's just not Christ-like behavior, now is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse, I'll just start reading. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, not some grace, all grace, abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 11, let's go over there. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. God's busy in the blessing business, and he wants every need that we have supplied. Every need. He wants sinners to be able to walk up to our tree of righteousness and grab fruit that's fat, ripe, and juicy, because they are dying and famished. And he needs us to produce juicy fruit. Not bitter fruit, sweet fruit. Because that's what they need. Amen? That's what they need. God also expects us to participate in our blessing. No, we're not just going to sit on the porch and the angel going to show up on his little donkey and say, hey, here I come with your blessing. Mm-mm. No, it's not like that commercial, here comes Kool-Aid down the street. No. It's not like that. That's not how God does it. It's not like that. We get to participate. And verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Amen? I'm in Ephesians, don't you know it already? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28.
I don't know them all yet.
Not yet? You mean you don't know the whole Bible yet?
Not yet. We'll have plenty of time in heaven tomorrow.
All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 again. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that him that needeth, to give to him that needeth. Yeah, people have needs. That's why we're going to 1 Thessalonians, which isn't far away. And we're going to chapter 4. And I'm at verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are out without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Take care of your own business so you won't lack anything. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Yes. And verse 19, he that tilleth or works his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Exodus 16. God likes for us to give him thanksgiving, not murmuring. 16:3. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. No, they didn't. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Really? Seriously speaking? If he wanted to kill them, he could have done that back in Egypt. The Egyptians gladly would have slaughtered them. Come on. No, God doesn't do that to his people. They lied on God. And I hope they finally repented at some point. Numbers 21. God doesn't like that murmuring. And to tell you the truth, we don't like it much either. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now, that light bread was angels' food. God fed them with manna from heaven. He gave them the food the angels ate. And they grumbled and they complained. They were just completely, totally self-centered and had no gratitude in their hearts. You see, thanksgiving is a God quality. It's a God quality. It means you appreciate what God has done and is doing for you. It's not just, I'm do this. I need this. No. You show gratitude to the Lord. Gratitude. That's what God is looking for. Give him some respect. Amen? Amen. Psalm 78. And in verse 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. And he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink, as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they sinned more against him. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That's not nice. That's not nice at all. Our God is a good God. And in verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, he had to judge them. He had to judge them. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. And he had to judge them. He That wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to supply their need. But they refused to cooperate with him. They refused to be willing and obedient so they could eat the good of the land. 1 Timothy. And then we're going to have communion. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. And verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Amen. God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of his people. He's never failed to take care of his people. We just have to be obedient and have sweet attitudes. Remember, he said we had to strip off our bad attitudes and our awful behavior and our unbelief and our doubt. We had to let that go this morning because God wants to pour in an abundant supply. And you can't have your unbelief and your bad attitude and your horrible confession blocking the flow of his blessings. Amen? Amen. Brother Bill? Amen. We cannot have we can't be failing God by not believing him. We actually have to use our faith. We must use our faith. Our faith. We must use our faith. Amen. So now, the Lord has told us all about our murmuring. The Lord has told us all about our murmuring and